Information America's farmers and ranchers need to know. Adams on Agriculture. Now, back to Mike Adams.
There are differences of opinion within the dairy industry about the path forward for dairy pricing. We want to talk about that now with our next guest, Jim Mulhern, President and CEO of the National Milk Producers Federation. Jim, good to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mike. It's great to be with you.
I will not even pretend to understand all the complexities and differences of dairy pricing, of milk pricing across the country. It's a complicated formula. It varies different parts of the country, I know. But what we do know, we can all easily recognize the impact of COVID-19 on dairy industry and milk pricing. It's had a big impact, and I know that within the dairy industry, you're looking for ways to address this moving forward.
Well, that's right, Mike. And as complicated as milk pricing is, you know, the issue that I want to make sure to talk about today is a fairly simple one in terms of the class one, the pricing of class one fluid milk, the milk that is sold in grocery stores in gallons and half gallons and quarts and whatnot. That is class one milk. It's the milk that is generally priced the highest among the four different classes of milk in the U.S. And as you mentioned, the pandemic created lots of problems last year. We had some problems with the class one pricing that was due to some changes that were made in the 2018 Farm Bill, changes that we frankly had been involved in working with the processing community that had sought some adjustments to that pricing formula. The result of that was that last year, the changes that were made had the unintended consequence of costing dairy farmers over $725 million in lost revenue because of the impact of COVID and how that threw all of the milk pricing out of whack.
So what you are proposing is to adjust the mover for fluid milk every 2 years based on conditions over the prior 24 months, with the current mover remaining the floor. Is that right?
That's right. In essence, Mike, that's what it is. And I know it sounds complicated. Let me try to strip it down to make it as simple as I can. Prior to the 2018 Farm Bill, for the previous 17, 18 years, fluid milk was priced at the higher of either Class 3 or Class 4. A differential was added in each of the federal milk marketing orders around the country, added to the higher of Class 3 or Class 4 in that particular month. That set the Class 1 price. That was working fine for dairy farmers. We didn't have any need to change that pricing structure. A concern arose from the fluid handlers, the fluid processors running the fluid plants, that given the fact that it was the higher of Class 3 or 4, it made it very difficult for them to do risk management on their Class 1. They couldn't hedge price because they didn't know from month to month what was going to be the mover. They talked to us about the negative impact they thought that was having on retail milk sales. Well, all of us want to make sure we're selling all the fluid milk we can. So we sat down with the processing community to try to work out something that would address their concerns on the inability to hedge. And that's where this formula change came up in the 2018 Farm Bill that used the average, instead of the higher of, the average of Class 3 and 4, plus a factor that represented the value that the higher of had meant to producers over the previous 17, 18 years. And that amount was 74 cents per hundredweight. That was the new formula put in place in the 2018 Farm Bill. It worked fine, generally fine, in 2019. I think it could have worked well into the future because it was designed to be revenue neutral. It wasn't to be advantage one side or the other, but be revenue neutral. The problem was that the pandemic threw it out of whack completely, and dairy farmers were the ones who took the hit to the bottom line.
We're talking with Jim Mulhern, President and CEO of the National Milk Producers Federation. Jim, I mentioned there's a difference of opinion or approach within the dairy industry. And as you know, the Dairy Business Association, Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the Minnesota Milk Producers Association, and the Nebraska State Dairy Association announced their proposal for reform. They're calling it Class 3 Plus. They say it would be a long-term fix to some of these pricing problems we've been talking about, not just correcting issues that have come up in the past year or two. What are your thoughts, your reaction to their approach?
Well, I would say two things, Mike. One, to the first point, there will be proposals coming out to address this situation. I frankly expect others as well. And that's what a federal order hearing process is all about. So we will make our proposal. It will go into USDA, likely this week, if USDA decides to move forward. And we'll be asking for a federal order, a national federal order hearing that will look specifically at the Class 1 price mover. Not all Class 1 issues, not all federal milk marketing order issues, because that would be a hearing that would take a long, long time and have, it could be a couple of years to complete something like that. This is a rifle shot approach to deal with a specific issue that arose, became clearly a problem from the pandemic last year, a rifle shot to fix that. And USDA will decide if they want to take this issue to a hearing. And in doing that, they will take testimony from other interested parties. Anybody can offer a proposal to deal, to address this issue. So I expect others. One of the points you mentioned was that the Class 3 proposal addresses the situation in the future. I think the shortcoming of that approach, from my understanding of it, is it does nothing to recoup the losses the producers suffered last year. It was over $725 million. Those losses, frankly, are still accruing because the mover still is underwater from what it would have been using the old higher of formula. What we're trying to do is recoup those and address it going forward. Our proposal would adjust that Class 1 mover every 2 years on a biennial basis, and it would essentially be a true-up to make sure that the formula is revenue neutral. That is, I think, one of the strengths of our proposal, is it addresses both the losses last year and will be an ongoing adjustment. Every 2 years, USDA would adjust that Class 1 mover to make sure that the program is revenue neutral.
Secretary Vilsack, certainly very familiar with the dairy industry, recently said that given the division within the industry, he felt it was too soon to make a change in the pricing formula. Are you concerned about that?
No, I'm not. I think the secretary was speaking in general terms about the overall situation in the industry. We haven't made any proposal yet. When we come forward, that will be something the department can consider. This federal order hearing process is one that is an administrative process that the dairy division within the USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service will look at our proposal. They'll decide if the issues that we raise merit taking to a hearing. If they do, they will conduct that hearing by an administrative law judge. It is an administrative proceeding to address this. So all those views will come forward and be part of a hearing process. USDA will take that hearing record, examine it, and they'll render the decision. We're optimistic and hopeful that USDA will, number one, move to a hearing as quickly as possible, conduct that hearing in as expeditious a fashion as possible, and then render its decision sometime, hopefully later this year. That is our goal. That's our expectation, and we're optimistic the department will move on this issue.
Are you concerned about divisions within the industry over this issue?
No, I'm not, Mike. And I don't really see divisions within the industry on this. I think the thing to keep in mind is the Federal Milk Marketing Order program is a regional program. That's, you have 11 orders. There was a time when I first came into the industry, I think there were 44 federal milk marketing orders. They were consolidated in this last reform that was done around 1999-2000 down to 11 orders, but they're regional orders, and each market has different interests. So it doesn't surprise me that a high Class 3 market like the Upper Midwest would want to put forth a proposal to base Class 1 milk off of just Class 3. But what happens in a situation where Class 4, milk that goes into butter and powder, what happens when that becomes the higher price between Class 3 and 4? We've had that many times in the past, and it can happen again in the future. So it's not at all surprising when you're talking about federal milk marketing order issues, a regional program, that you're going to have regional differences. Our focus as a national organization is to try to balance all of these things and take an approach which will work for the nation's dairy industry as a whole, and that's what our proposal embodies.
Before I let you go real quick, your thoughts on the administration's approach to dealing with an issue, a trade issue that's long been a concern for the dairy industry, geographic indications?
Well, very pleased with the administration's action so far. The report came out on late last week from the U.S. Trade Representative's office, a Section 301 report on intellectual property issues, a multiple complicated terminology, but what in that report they pointed out the problem of the European Union's activities on geographical indications and how they're designed to keep U.S. dairy products out of international markets. So we're pleased with that recognition. This is an ongoing challenge, an ongoing issue that we have been working on for some time and will continue to do so. I had a chance yesterday to meet with Ambassador Tai, the new U.S. Trade Representative, and the GI issue, along with issues with Mexico and Canada in USMCA, were two of the key areas we focused on. So we're pleased with the response to date and looking forward to working with the administration on these challenging issues.
Always good to talk with you, Jim. Thanks for the update. Appreciate it.
Mike, thanks. Good to be with you.
Take care. Jim Mulhern, President and CEO of the National Milk Producers Federation, with an update on some key dairy issues. All right, it continues to be dry in many parts of North Dakota. We'll talk with a North Dakota farmer about conditions in his area, where he's at with planting. That's next. Stay with us. You're listening to AOA.